News, traffic, and weather station. News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Caller analyst Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Well, we welcome you in on just another momentous day in Jacksonville. Of course, the day before the Jaguars take on the Falcons in Atlanta. So Brian and Jeff are heading up to Atlanta. John Osher is in Dallas, where today the Jaguars officially got the go-ahead from the NFL ownership. Shad Khan will become the owner of the Jaguars once everything is said and done. Things are closed up, so that means it's left for, are we the B team? Well, you're sort of the A and a half team. Tony Boselli, the pride of the Jaguars, is here. I'm the C team. And we're going to have a lot to talk about today.
There's plenty to talk about.
You and I haven't had a chance to be on the air together on this station in a while, anyway.
For a long time.
It's been a while, but it's going to be fun. Interesting day today. Not really a surprising day when you talk about Shad Khan being approved. You know, once it was okayed by the Finance Committee, that was sort of, at this point, just a matter of course. But what are your thoughts, Tony, as, a guy who was the first draft pick of the team and obviously the pride of the Jaguars and the Team Teal. I mean, you've been so involved with this team for basically your entire adult life. What are your thoughts now as it's official that Wayne Weaver will be transitioning out and Shad Khan will be coming in?
Well, I mean, obviously, to state the obvious, it's the end of one era and the beginning of another. And I think there's going to be change. And change, and we've talked about this in the last couple of shows ever since it was announced a few weeks ago that Wayne was selling the team. Change can bring a little bit of fear, the unknown. I think we're probably past most of that. I think it was very encouraging hearing Shad Khan talk today about his excitement about Jacksonville, his commitment to the city, and wanting to be a part of the rebirth of the franchise, and wants to win on and off the field. All great things. And so, while it's the comfort level of knowing who the owner is and having that relationship that we all do, and it was, you know, pretty much all I knew in the NFL and the working with the Weavers as a player and then off the field with Team Teal and in the community and with the charity work. And so that part is a little, sad would be the right word because that ends. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to meeting Shad.
You haven't met him yet, haven't had any conversation?
No conversation yet. Looking forward to that. He'll be here this weekend. He'll be here Friday. And I'm looking forward to better days for the franchise. Not that what we've had the last 18 years has been bad. Obviously, the last number of years, I don't think on the field is where any of us want it to be. And so I'm looking forward to his leadership. He'll put his own flavor on it, his own stamp on the team, and I'm looking forward to see what that is. And being whatever role I would have in Team Teal, and we all have, I'm looking forward to find out what that is. But one thing for sure is I'll be a supporter of this franchise and love this franchise and looking forward to it having a lot of fun.
Let me give you, if I may, sort of an inside look. As you may know, Tony, and many of the listeners may know, my desk is right here in the stadium. And while Jeff and Brian, of course, are intimately involved with things here, they're not in here on every day. John Osher is, but his desk is somewhat outside of the inside of the stadium. So I'm right actually down the hallway where people would have to walk to go down to Wayne Weaver's office, to the owner's office. I don't remember seeing Shad Khan's mustache walk by in the course of the time at all. But once this was announced, I can tell you the people within the organization had almost a split personality reaction, kind of like you're talking about. On one hand, it was unsettled because it's change and what is that going to mean, what's going to happen there. And the other thing is, well, geez, everybody has such high regard for the Weavers that, what are you going to do, what's going to happen there? And then once you started hearing more about Shad Khan, you started getting a feeling on it, I think people started to get excited. So, and this is sort of what is the opportunity is going to be on January 1st, the last and only remaining Jaguars home game against the Colts. It's an opportunity, much as happened in the Monday night game, to welcome Shad Khan in as the owner, but also pay your, you know, respects. If it, I don't want to make it sound like it's a funeral, but, you know, give your salute to the Weavers on their way out. And I, there are going to be a lot of things going on. You'll hear more about those as we get between now and the game. But I do know that they're going to be encouraging folks to come out to that January 1st game. If you have tickets, make sure they're used. You know, if you've already purchased tickets, make sure somebody, whether it's you or somebody else, come out there on New Year's Day and celebrate. And, you know, bring signs and banners and everything to show your appreciation to the Weavers and also to kind of get things going, because this is sort of like drafting a quarterback. And remember the excitement, the energy that came when Blaine Gabbert was drafted. Same thing when the Jaguars drafted Byron Leftwich. We certainly hope that Gabbert will develop better than Leftwich did, but it's such a key part of the organization. Quarterback, owner, coach, GM. Those are probably the four areas. When you get a new one, it does start a new era. It does give you a new sense of energy, new sense of direction.
No, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of that January 1st game first, I think it's critical. And I think it's important for the fans that we come out. And I'm not as much worried about welcoming Shad Khan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's nice.
Yep.
We'll have plenty of time to get to know him starting January 4th when he officially takes over the reins. I like how he said, until then he has training wheels on, and the training wheels will come off January 4th. And so that's the time when we'll get to know him and we can support this team and show him how important it is to the city and all those things that we've talked about in the past. But I think the January 1st game, the last game of the year, last game that the Weavers will sit in the owner's box, that they will be the owners of this franchise, for what they've done bringing this team here, some great moments, great civic citizens, great civic contributions that they've made through the franchise and as individuals, that we come out and that I would hope that place is filled. And so if you have seats like you talked about, Colt, you know, make sure you're there. If you don't, come by them. If you're going to come to one game, come to that game. And it's going to be against the Colts, who stink. So we should,
guaranteed win.
Yeah,
right?
Hopefully we'll win. But more important, the wins and losses that day, frankly, is letting the Weavers know thank you for the great 18 years we've had. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for bringing the NFL here. And I think it would be a great signature moment. So bring full signs and T-shirts and whatever else you want to bring. But more than anything, bring yourself. And let's get that stadium filled.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. All right, we will take your calls, your thoughts where you are right now in terms of your feeling on the transitional period with the team. I have some thoughts about stability of the team here in Jacksonville that continues to hover in the back of people's minds. We'll talk a little bit about that, as well as where are they going as far as the coach is concerned. What are they going to do with the coach? What are they going to do with that next step? Who is going to be making that decision as far as the Jaguars are concerned? We'll talk about that. You can also tweet some questions and comments to me, if you like, at Cole Pepper. And we'll continue along with Tony Boselli here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. More to come here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. The number to call, 800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Boselli here with you this evening, getting ready for tomorrow night's Jaguars-Falcons game in Atlanta. That'll be an 8:20 kickoff, maybe 8:28, something like that, by the time they finally get all the festivities ready to go and kick off. And we'll have a pregame coverage beginning at 5 o'clock with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. And by the way, you can register to win a one-year lease on a brand-new Volkswagen Beetle. Just stop by Tom Bush Volkswagen, Osteen Volkswagen, or Volkswagen of Orange Park to enter. The winner will be announced during the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. For rules and more information, visit jaguars.com. By the way, that new Beetle actually is not as girly as it used to be. And I'm serious. I've been driving some Volkswagens, and I would say, I'm not touching the Beetle. Then I saw it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe. We'll see.
You like riding the Beetle?
I like the Volkswagens, yeah.
Nice.
I'm in a Tiguan right now.
I have no idea what that is.
The kind of smaller crossover SUV kind of thing. I look good in it. Let me just say that, Tony. I look real good.
As long as you think so, that's all that matters.
No, as long as my wife doesn't think otherwise, I think is the key.
Well, that's probably important,
and
too.
She hasn't said I don't look good in it yet. So, you know, I feel like I'm halfway home. 800-355-NFL1, the number to call if you want to jump aboard into our conversation here. One of the lines that came out of the press conference today from Shad Khan, Tony, that I thought was most telling was, yes, he's committed to Jacksonville, and this is a partnership between the team and the fans. And I thought that was important because a new owner coming in does not mean, hey, fine, we're good, don't worry about buying tickets anymore. And that's not the way it works. It is a partnership, and the stability of the team here in town, I don't think, you know, first of all, I don't think Shad, I don't know, I haven't had any conversation with him, just judging on his behavior and the purchase price, I don't think he's buying this team with the intent to move it. He's buying this team with the intent to make it work here in Jacksonville. But there's no guarantee on that, and it is still a partnership that sponsors, fans, you know, the community has to still embrace the team, and the team has to give good reasons for those groups to embrace the team on the other side.
Yeah, it is a partnership, and I like what Shad Khan said. He says, listen, we have to be accountable as a team to provide a great product on the field for our customers, for our sponsors, and we need to win. And we need to win on the field and off the field. And he was adamant that that's the responsibility of this club, of this franchise. And then it's the responsibility of the community, their partnership end of it, is to come out and support the team. And so it's a two-way street. I mean, neither side can sit back and say, we have no responsibility in this. And that's not just for Jacksonville, by the way. That's in all markets. I mean, outside the big markets that are established and long-term, this is a business at the end of the day. He spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And because he loves the game, and he's committed to Jacksonville. And I think the fans, by the way, this isn't a threat or anything. I think the fans are committed. I think we've proven that. I mean, they've gone through no playoff wins since – you know, or one playoff
is
win.
He calling you now?
Yeah, he's saying hi. No playoff, only one playoff victory in the last decade,
right?
Plus.
Yep.
So, I mean, I thought the comments were great. I think the fans will embrace him, and I think the fans will, the support will continue and get better. And I think once we start winning, it'll be off the charts.
Tell me if you agree with this. Bottom line is, if you don't win and people don't show up, it's on the team. If you win and people don't show up, it's on the people. And if you don't win and they do show up, then you're the Cubs.
Or the major markets, you're the, you know, the Bears and the Steelers, yeah, and the Giants and those clubs, the Broncos, who, you know, they just show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're established historical fan bases that support their team no matter what. But listen, we're going to win here. I'm confident that we will win here, and I think there's going to be an energy that's going to be injected into this building because of the new ownership. I think people, because there's change, will have a little bit more pep in the step, and we're going to get a new coach in here, and I think that's going to bring some positive changes, and I'm very bullish on it. I'm excited about the direction. I'm excited about what's coming ahead, and I think fans should be too.
I thought that Blaine Gabbert had his best game of the year on Sunday. Now, it's easy to say that in a 41-14 win, and we'll spend a little more time a little later on the show talking about the quarterback. But the kind of momentum, if I'm a fan and I'm sitting on the fence about putting my money where my mouth is on this team, looking forward to next year, there are three things I want to see. One, I want to get excited about the new owner, I want to be excited about the quarterback, and I want to be excited about the new head coach.
Absolutely, and I'd love to hear from the fans. And I mean, did you listen to the press conference?
I did.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, but we all listened to it with our own filter,
mm-hmm,
and you know, us both being a part of the organization and from different standpoints, but both a part of it and vested interests and want to hear We tend to, as individuals, hear what we want to hear sometimes. But I thought it was very positive. But I'm curious, and I always am curious, what is the average fan? How'd they feel about it? What'd they hear? What'd they hear him say? Does it excite them? Are they looking forward to the future? Mm-hmm. Does it give them confidence that he is committed to this to the city? I think he is. All those things are a yes for me. But, you know, I think it'd be curious. I'll be curious to hear tonight and also in the weeks to come what the fans say.
Tony, he wore a teal tie. How much better can you get?
Well, I mean, he's not dumb. I mean, he turned $50,000 into $3 billion or whatever he did. Yep. So he's smart enough to know that a teal tie is good on the day you buy the team.
That's a good trigger. I got a couple of tweets here from listeners. What do you think of Jarrett Dillard? Do you think he could become a great wide receiver for us? This is from Robert. I like Jarrett Dillard. I think he can be a good contributing guy for the Jaguars. The word great, I'll just caution anybody. I protect the word great probably more than it needs to be. Great in the NFL. Who are the great wide receiver? Who are the great wide receivers in the NFL right now, Tony? You know, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson. If he keeps doing it,
there's not many.
There are guys who have the chance. You know, AJ Green is phenomenal, but he's got to keep doing it. What do you think of Dillard?
He's got to be good before he becomes great.
Yeah, I agree.
So, listen, at this point, our receivers, every one of them, need to prove that they can be a number two. I don't think we have a one on the roster.
I know there's you're not going on. I'm not sure they have a two on the roster.
Well, they got to prove it, and there's a lot of circumstances beyond their control as well. And it's been a tough year, rookie quarterback. Firing not only the head coach but the position coach. So obviously there was unrest, and you question the development there in the coaching they were receiving if that move was made, mm-hmm. which it was. And so I'm probably more patient typically in these situations because I think we, as a society, we jump to conclusions way too fast, whether it's anointing a player who plays well for a period of time and saying they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, or because a player's early in his career struggles, saying he's a bust. You know, and, you know, you look at, you know, Tim Tebow, 7-1, all, you know, he's doing great. Does that mean he's going to be in the Hall of Fame and lead the Broncos to Super Bowls? I don't know. I mean, it's too early to say that's a body of work. The same thing with Alex Smith a number of years ago. He was a bust. He can't play. Well, now he's leading the San Francisco 49ers to a 10-3 record, you know, playoff berth, probably going to have a bye in the first round of the playoffs. Looks like a pretty good quarterback to me. So I say that as examples is you can never make decisions too soon. Going to Jarrett Dillard, there's not a big enough body of work. Now, is that because he's not good enough to get on the field or he hasn't been given the opportunity, the right situation? Right now, Jarrett Dillard's a fourth or fifth wide receiver on this roster and on a receiving core that's not real good.
Although he has been the most reliable when he's been in there.
Sure.
One of the questions I have with him is, can he stay on the field? He's had injury issues in his professional career. I like his hands. I like how he catches the ball. I think he runs routes well. I think he's a pretty polished guy. I don't think he has the speed to be a number one. But, again, if you can – I think that this offseason you're going to see some dramatic changes in terms of the wide receivers. I think you're going to see free agency. I think you're going to see the draft be a part of that. And if it comes back and Mike Thomas is your slot guy and Jarrett Dillard is your number four, by the time the dust settles, you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. I think it's the obvious thing is there's going to be three at least new bodies in that room as far as wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get playmakers outside. You got to get guys who can go stretch the field, who can scare somebody when they line up outside.
Marcus Colston's going to be a free agent, by the way. He's not necessarily a deep threat. He's more of a possession guy and a big body.
He's a guy who's a big body, can work in the slot, works, you know, in the middle of the field very well. Mm-hmm. Good hands. He's not a speed guy. He's a very good number two receiver.
Yeah, and if that was one of the moves the Jaguars would make in the offseason, I'm just throwing out a name like
right.
that.
But you got Vincent Jackson. You got Stevie Johnson, who is a very good receiver. You got DeSean Jackson, mm-hmm. who's an explosive guy. You have Dwayne Bowe, who's going to be out there most likely. You're going to have a number of guys. Now, they could all get signed up from their existing ball clubs. But the thought is at least half of those guys are going to be out there, and they're going to be free agents, and they're going to get a chance to go to a team that of their choosing and probably the highest bidder.
All right, we will take some of your calls, 800-355-NFL1. We're going to check in with John Osher and Brent Martineau in Atlanta here coming up, in Dallas, to get the latest on what happened today with the official vote that Wayne Weaver has been given clearance. It will officially happen, the sale of the Jaguars to Shad Khan. Become a part of the Jaguars Advantage program, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. Jaguars Advantage season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. We'll take time out. Your calls, more tweets when we come back. You can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. Cole Pepper here with Tony Boselli. And your calls next, right here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Boselli in here today as Brian and Jeff are heading to Atlanta. We've actually landed in Atlanta. Sexton just tweeted that he's eating barbecue at a place called Ribs and Blues in Atlanta. Kind of rubbing it in, quite frankly.
Does Atlanta have good ribs?
Not as a general rule, but there are a few places I think that are all right. I mean, it's no Kansas City. It's no...
Right now, I'd take about anything.
You're hungry, are you?
I'm hungry.
Well, don't make the Big Bear hungry.
Hungry.
New Year's Day, Jaguars-Colts game, Fan Appreciation Day. It's also time to show your appreciation to the Weavers by coming out to say goodbye. Fans will be encouraged to sign a 20-foot banner that will be displayed in the Pepsi Plaza from 10 a.m. till noon. You can also create your own banner showing your appreciation and bring them to the game. For tickets, call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Speaking of jaguars.com, let's bring in the senior writer of jaguars.com, John Osher, who is in Dallas. John, what did you make of the press conference today? Anything surprising or anything stand out to you?
Well, let me start by saying I may have to cut it off quickly because I'm next in line to talk to Shad as we speak. But you know,
so Ozone, are you going to call after you talk to Shad? I would expect, because you know this is your job, and typically you're sitting in the chair next to me. You're going to call in with a first look and update for the radio show.
I can do that. You know, if I get a word in edgewise on Boselli, I'll do that. This might be one day he lets me talk.
I'll let you talk all you want, baby.
I mean, it was what you expected. I mean, you know, Shad was very engaging, as you know, what we've been told he would be. And, you know, he made a strong commitment, you know, saying, I'm committed to Jacksonville. He talked a lot about, you know, talking to sponsors, talking to people in town, talking to businesses. He used the word reinvigoration, you know, talked about a rebirth. And, you know, he's trying to get the fans excited. He knows this is the first step. He'll talk again Friday. And it was the first step in, you know, what will be an extended getting to know you process.
John, what, as you go in and get ready to interview him, what do you want to ask him? I mean, what do you want to know, both from a where you sit as the writer for the Ozone on the website, and also from a fan's perspective, what question do you want answered?
Well, this probably isn't the time to talk Rays, so I'll table that.
besides job security, what else?
Right. Obviously, a little bit about how the coaching search will play out, which he's obviously not going to get into very much. Something he said interesting in the press conference that I'd like him to elaborate on is his ownership style. I mean, he was very upfront that he's a fanatical fan, he loves the sport, but he also couched that by saying, I'm enough of a fanatical fan to know there are things that I don't know how to do, which, you know, means he's going to be in, you know, while they're cheering in the press box, but he is not, you know, he's not portraying himself as a guy who thinks he knows how to run a team from the football side. And I think that's what you want. I mean, it's fine to have an owner who's very involved, but I've always thought it's best to have a guy who knows his limitations as an owner. You know, he knows how to make money clearly and how to run a business, and it sounds like he's going to let the football people, you know, do their jobs, which I've always thought is the best way to do it.
So in your mind, John, do you think the structure of the front office is going to change in that, you know, is there going to be a team president? Because he said he's not going to be here every day necessarily like Wayne has been, but he'll be out trying to get in front of the right people. Do you expect that the structure will change?
I don't know. You know, I'd hate to predict that because it really wasn't covered, and he really didn't hint at that either way. I mean, they talked more about it's going to be a collaborative process on the coaching search between, you know, he and Wayne and Gene Smith and Paul Vance. You know, and that was what he really sort of got into today. I'm not sure you know the answer to the other question, you know, for a little while. And but again, to me, I thought the big picture stuff that he said about how he's going to run it, he clearly wants football people in charge of football decisions. And as logical as that seems, that's not always what happens. That was a good thing.
Yeah, and I'll let you go here on this last thought, John, because I know you want to get in there and start chatting with Shad Khan. Is his impact on the hiring process of the coach going to be advisory? Is it going to be approval? Is he going to be you know, the boots on the ground for this?
Well, they talked today about the process, and it sounds as if Gene and Wayne have already gathered quite a bit of information on that process. This is from what Wayne said today in the press conference, and it was really Wayne who talked more specifically about how the process would be, probably because he's more comfortable with it and has had that conversation with the media before. So he kind of took the lead on that, and he's basically said, you know, what is Wayne talking? He said, I'm going to be in an advisory role. He'll offer advice to Shad in the process, but, you know, Shad's going to be the owner of the team. Clearly, you know, I would think the conversations are going to be pretty heavy between him and Gene Smith on the direction they're going.
Yeah, my guess is when you write the check that he wrote and you become the owner of the team, I think obviously he's going to listen to a lot of input and he's going to trust the advice Mr. Weaver gives him. But come January 4th, my guess is when it comes down to, you know, writing down the coach's name and making the phone call, it's going to be his final call. I mean, he's the owner of the team.
And it should be. And, you know, as we all know, the key to this process now going forward is who has his ear and who he trusts. You know, he clearly doesn't have the benefit of having been, he's not a league guy. He hasn't been around for a long time. So he's got to pick people that he trusts to help him make these, you know, these first few football decisions. And, you know, that'll be key. And I'm not sure we know who that's going to be yet, but that's certainly, history tells you that that's a very key thing. You know, who has the owner's ear on something like this. Right. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
John, good luck in there. And if you feel like you need to talk about, you know, pay scale, you can always throw a good word in for the radio guys.
Well, I'll ask for the selling money, and I'll be in good shape.
Yeah, you'll be in good shape. All right. Thanks, John. John Osher, the senior writer at Jaguars.com, is going to go in and talk with Shad Khan right now. And we may hear from – I like how you kind of work that in.
Oh, you got to ask.
Assumption.
Listen, if you don't ask, you don't receive.
That's right. I like that. That's good.
All right, Ozone needs a call back.
Let's get some calls in here. 800-355-NFL1. Gary is in his car, so drive safely. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Well, I was thinking about quite a few things, but I want to know how committed he is to winning. And I wondered if he was going to pay up for the coach. I think who we pick as coach, that's going to be his first decision. And if we go cheaper, you know, maybe we go for somebody like Fisher. He's a good coach, and he does have a mustache.
It's a good point. Maybe a mustache kinship going on there. I'm not sure, Tony, that the money that is spent on the coach necessarily equates to, do you get the right guy? There are going to be some guys out there, and we haven't had a chance to have this conversation on the air at all about that. There are going to be some guys out there who are going to command big dollars. Doesn't necessarily mean they're the right guy. Doesn't mean they're not. And there's some folks who are not going to take as much, but listen, if you're going to spend $760 million on a football team, you want to make the impact right away. My guess is that money is not going to wind up being an obstacle to hiring the guy you think's the right guy. Do you agree?
I think money was something that was in the past. I mean, Jack Del Rio wasn't a frontline coach.
Well, wait a second. I don't mean to interrupt you, Gary, but Jack Del Rio was one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL at $5 million a year.
When he was signed?
No, but
he wasn't one of the highest paid.
But when he was extended, he was one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. So to
that's a good point.
And so I don't think money is an issue. I think the the PR splash and the excitement that you might get from going and signing a guy that everyone knows his name is right. Some marketing pizzazz to it. Does that translate to wins and losses? Not always. I'll give you the three of the most successful coaches that have been hired in recent history. A guy named John Harbaugh, who was a special teams coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, who no one had ever heard of. A guy named Mike McCarthy, who was an offensive coordinator for the 49ers, who no one had ever heard of. And a guy named Mike Tomlin, who was a one-year defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who missed the playoffs, and no one had ever heard
of. Throwing Sean Payton in that conversation, too.
Mike Smith for the Atlanta Falcons was laughed at when he was named as the head coach of Atlanta Falcons. And those guys what they have in common, they have a bunch of Super Bowls and a bunch of playoff victories next to their names.
Yeah, you're making a great point there, and certainly those candidates that you named. How committed do you think he is to winning? I mean, it's important to me that we win right now. I don't want to wait. I want some great wins immediately, and I think we have the roster and everything in place, and I'm really excited. Do you think it'll happen right away?
You know, I don't – there are a lot of fans who have disagreed with me on this, and I expect them to, but I don't think this team is that far away from being a contender. The quarterback obviously has to mature, take advantage of the experience he's gotten this year and take the next step next year. They've got to shore up the wide receiver position. But, I mean, this defense is really good. There's a lot of good football players on that defense, not just the starters. Offensive line has been very good in the run blocking. Left tackle has solidified himself as the guy to be there. Your center and your right guard have been solid this year. Right tackle and left guard, have been a little unsettled. I think left guard, I think you feel good about Rackley's potential to grow and develop. I'll tell you one position, Tony, that I also think that the Jaguars need to make sure that they are taken care of next year, and that's Maurice's backup at running back. Whether that's Rashad Jennings, whether he's ready to go, whether they draft somebody, whatever it is, they need to make sure they have a guy who can be, who can run physically, who can take some of the load off Maurice if need be. Because that's going to continue to be the main part of this Jaguar. All of a sudden next year, they're not suddenly going to be, a high-powered passing offense. They're not going to suddenly become the New Orleans Saints. They're not suddenly going to become the Green Bay Packers. They're still going to be a team that's going to run the football because they have one of the best running backs in the National Football League here.
Yeah, but you have to have a vertical passing game.
Oh, I don't disagree. But you don't have to go from 32nd in passing to fourth in order to be a good offense overall.
Well, we went from 28th in defense to fourth, so why can't we?
Well, I think you're ignoring, the guy who's your best weapon right now. If you
I disagree. I think you actually make him more effective, and I think Rashad Jennings. I think you need a backup, and I think Rashad has proven if he can stay healthy, he can
healthy.
Do it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to have a vertical passing game. I was being a little facetious when I said we'll go to top five, but we have to be a team that can stretch the field, get after it, and I do think you can do that quickly. I think you've seen that. I mean, you look at the Atlanta Falcons very quickly. Roddy White, because Matt Ryan came in, became a top-end receiver, and they stretched the field. And there's examples like that. Will we get there year one? I hope, but we'll have to see if the right pieces can be put on the field.
Yeah, regardless of style, I think they can be a contending team.
Absolutely.
Next year.
I agree with that.
All right, we'll take time out. More calls when we come back. We'll also check in with Brent Martineau in Dallas. 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me if you're in the Twitterverse at Cole Pepper. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the Jaguars-Colts game. Don't mention BBQ to Baselli. He's hungry. Back with more right after this timeout. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Baselli here. You can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day from Gate. Get 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, limo for 4 to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. 800-355-NFL1. Have a couple of folks on the line who are both calling from out of state, and we'll get to them in just a moment, but we'll go out of state now to Dallas and check in with Brent Martineau, CBS 47, Fox 30. Brent, we talked to John Osher just a bit ago of his thoughts on the press conference. What did you take away from the press conference today with Commissioner Goodell and then with Wayne Weaver and Shad Khan?
I did just talk to John, by the way, guys, and he told me I have a lot to live up to. I better bring my A game.
Bring it.
I'll bring it for you. Hey, here's the one thing I took away. Other than he was very comfortable up there, I think much more so than last week when we saw him in New York City. I think there was a nervous energy about him. I think he was very comfortable and obviously pleased, a big smile the whole entire time. But he said the word rebirth, and I really think that's a word that characterizes what's going on here and what started a couple of weeks ago on that Monday night game. Of course, it started a long time ago, I think, with Tony Boselli and the Field of Teal stuff. But when the mustache movement kind of came out, and it kind of took over that Monday night game and that buzz that was around, that rebirth started again, I think. And we've got one of the most exciting off seasons I think the Jaguars could ever even ask for. When you have a new owner that's created a buzz, you will have a new head coach, you have a high draft pick, and hopefully now, if Blaine Gabbert can put a couple of games together, you have a young quarterback that is looking a lot more promising than he did the first couple months of the season.
So, in your sniffing around and conversation since that press conference, what's the most interesting reaction you've heard in Dallas about what's happening here?
Well, I'll take you back to earlier today. Before the meetings even began, we talked to Bob McNair, the Houston Texans owner, and one of the fun things he said, we were asking about being the first minority owner in the NFL, and he said, well, he's also the first owner with a handlebar mustache. So that was even the owners recognized the mustache. But then after, I caught up with Gene Smith a little bit and also talked to Shad Khan after the press conference. And I think the next step of this for me is the selection of the head coach. Mm-hmm. And is it going to be quick? The answer to that was, well, not too quick. We'll know a lot more after this weekend. They are going to huddle together this weekend, Shad Khan, Wayne Weaver, and Gene Smith, and look at all the notes that they've taken. And now this goes back a while. I'm not sure if you caught this in Wayne Weaver's words in that press conference. He said, well, we've been looking for a year pretty much and doing our homework. He put those words out there, which shows you how they felt about Jack Del Rio, by the way, and that they were going to make a move pretty much regardless of what happened. So they have already done a lot of research. Now they want to share that with Shad Khan. And Shad Khan just told me just a short time ago, he said, you know, Gene Smith has done the homework and he's the legwork guy, but I certainly will have a say in the next head coach. He is a football guy, too. He's not just a businessman. So that's intriguing to me, and I think it should be intriguing to Jag Nation to see how this head coach is picked, because, Tony and Cole, you guys know, this is a huge, huge move for the Jags, whoever they pick here. These next few years are vital.
Yeah, well, the fact that Gene Smith is going to have a say in this, from what you're saying, which we anticipated but hadn't heard it actually said until today, and kind of confirmed, is a real positive as far as I'm concerned, because I think Gene Smith really identifies football talent not only on the field but also in terms of coaching. He knows what kind of coach he wants and will work well with.
I'll throw my opinion out. Well, I'll actually throw something else out from Gene Smith. When I did just briefly talk to him, this was off camera, and I said, we know we'll be quick, blah, blah, blah. And he said, we need a leader in here. We need a leader. And so that was his number one thing. And now from just a personal point of view, from what I've gathered and talked to, I really think if you can spot and identify the next kind of the younger Tom Coughlin, that guy with those kind of attributes and what he brings, disciplinarian, some energy,
organized,
emotion,
yeah,
you know, organization, all that stuff. If you can identify that guy, to me, he's the early favorite for this coaching job, because I think they want to bring in a guy like Tom Coughlin, but maybe a guy that's in his late 30s or early 40s.
All right, sounds good. Brent, thanks for the report from Dallas. Travel safe.
Okay, man. Appreciate right. you.
Brent Martineau, CBS 47, Fox 30. All right, not enough time to be fair here before the news. We've got Atlanta and Kentucky both waiting for us to check in here. So James and James, if you will hang on through the break, it'll be on our dime, you know. That's the 800 number, the beauty of the 800 number. And now I guess it's actually on Shad Khan's dime, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
He'll have to pay the bill.
It'll be his dime on January 4th. Well, still Wayne's dime until then.
The bill won't come until after that, so, you know, Shad will be picking that up. That's his gift to you as the new Jaguars owner. We will take time out. Back with the second hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Reminder that when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Jaguars and Falcons coming up tomorrow night. At some point, well, I guess we'll talk about that game, but boy, it almost seems secondary in some regard, but we do want to talk about how, you know, the momentum that was created, if it was indeed against Tampa Bay, will it continue against the Atlanta Falcons? Big test for the Jaguars defense for sure, with all those weapons on the Atlanta offense. Mike Smith on the sideline after a little bit of a health scare as well. And we'll talk about how far this team is away. As well, in the second hour, I had 12 questions that we talked about on this show in the preseason. And I'm going to get Tony's take on how to answer these questions and if they have been answered as of this point of the season, what maybe the next 12 questions will be going into the offseason. That's all coming up here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Boselli in here. How many shows a year? How many shows did you do this year with the other guys? With Bryant?
Oh, every week.
Did you do every week?
I mean, starting in the preseason.
Okay. So, you are...
Unless
like the,
we were in doing a game.
Traveling, this travel. So, you sort of... This is sort of the situation. This is like everybody just got fired, and you're the last guy they kept around, and then you got stuck with me for 2 hours.
Okay.
It's sort of, so this is your penance, I guess, for not traveling and being off. Do you have a game this weekend, by the way?
I'll be in Denver doing the Patriots-Broncos game.
That's a big game, huh? We'll talk a little bit about, because the NFL has mandated that every broadcast mention Tebow at least once an hour. We will do that.
Yeah, I'll be talking about him for 4 hours this weekend.
Well, obviously, you'll have a little more time to talk about that. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get back taking some calls here on a day where the Jaguars have officially been okayed to be sold from Wayne Weaver to Shad Khan. Let's go to James in Atlanta, who is... James, are you there for the game tomorrow?
Yes, we are here, Cole. Tony, thanks for taking my call. First of all, very excited about the news with Shad Khan and the rebirth, this talk about rebirth with the Jags. But, yeah, we've got a good group of Jaguar fans. We started a fan club up here. We've been doing it for about 8 years, and this is the first year the Jags have played a regular season home game in Atlanta. And actually, the Falcons contacted us. Their group ticket office contacted us, gave us a group rate. So we're going to have about 100 very enthusiastic Jaguar fans sitting in Section 204 tomorrow night for the game. And we will be well represented. We'll also be tailgating at the sports bar where we watch the games down near the dome. So we're hoping for a good showing from the Jags. So we'll be well represented there.
Well, good. You know, the interesting fact about the Jaguars-Falcons rivalry, Tony, you may have come across this. The Jaguars have played the Falcons almost every year they play them in the preseason. They've only played them 4 times in the regular season, and they've beaten them 3 of those 4 times.
Yep.
And all 3 of the years in which they've beaten the Falcons, they've gone to the playoffs.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying there's a wild card. No, I'm... I'd say if they beat them on tomorrow night in the Georgia Dome, just start figuring out how it's going to happen, because it's, you know, it's got to be, right? But 96, you remember that game well.
We'll never forget that one.
Right? 99.
I remember that one.
Remember that one?
Yep.
And then 2007.
Monday. 99 was a Monday night, wasn't it?
I think it was a... No, 99 was a game up there. You might recall that Brant Boyer had 3 sacks.
Wasn't that where Tavian Banks blew his knee
and
up?
And then at the end of the game, Tavian Banks, yep, that was the... Oops, we lost James there. Yeah, that was the end of it.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to seeing Blaine again. I think he played great. Let me say, great in the progression of where he's been. I thought he was really took some nice steps. Obviously, special teams was great. Defenses. Played very well against a bad Tampa team. I expect the defense to play well on tomorrow night against Atlanta. Everyone says, well, gosh, they had all those receivers. Our corners are down. Yeah, but Atlanta still is a run-first team if you look at them when they're most successful. And so, you know, I don't know if we win or not. I think it's a tough game because they're fighting for the playoffs. But I'm excited to see another challenge on the road. And listen, at this point, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking. I enjoy watching Blaine and the progression that he makes, because that's very important to the future of the franchise.
And we'll talk more about that here in just a bit. I want to get some more calls in here. Let's go to James, who is in Kentucky. James, you're up here on Jaguars This Week. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I have two questions, both about the offensive line. So this is more for up Tony's alley. The first one is if Britton can't come back next year, say for whatever reason is back into his backup, and Jacksonville goes earn separate way, do you think we have the talent to replace him, or is that something that we'll have to address in next year's draft? Or do you think Bradfield could fill in, or do you think Whipper's is he a guy that can start, or is he more of a swingman backup? And the second one is Atlanta's offensive line. Do you think, what's their weakness? Can we attack them like we did the Buccaneers? And I'll take that off the air, guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you. For the call.
I think it's too early to say with Evan. I mean, all the reports are that he'll be back and he'll be fine, and the back should recover without an issue. If it doesn't, then you got to look. I mean, I think Guy Whimper in the perfect world is your swing guy. I mean, I think he can play. Obviously, he's done it this year. What is it? Bradfield.
Yeah, Cameron Bradfield.
I'd like to see him and what he can do out there. I think there's potential. Mm-hmm. And when he had to step in against the Jets, I thought he did.
Did all right.
I thought he did a good job at the left tackle position.
Whimper's been much better.
He's
than
been very serviceable.
Than my expectations were.
Absolutely. So I think our offensive line is better than it gets credit for. I think Eugene's played very well after a rough preseason. And so he's establishing himself as a guy at left tackle you count on. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, the tackles taken since he was picked, probably the best tackle picked in the draft so far in the last couple of years.
It's interesting, too, talking about tackles. I don't think there are any Tony Baselli's out there right now. There are no Jonathan Ogdens. There's no Orlando Paces. Maybe not even a Walter Jones. I mean, there was a stretch there where you four were – dominant left tackles. Right now, Joe Thomas, is he the best one out there? And I mean, it doesn't seem like that, and whether it's because there are more pass plays so guys get exposed more often, or because the talent just isn't there, there are better pass rushes, better – I don't know what it is, but there's not that top-shelf left tackle out there right now, is there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't like – because I didn't like it when I was playing probably. Actually, I don't know if I really bother, but I know it bothers people. I think it's dangerous to always compare yourself and other people and try to make that. But
you leave yourself out of the conversation.
Well, I just think you look at,
is there an Orlando Pace?
Yeah, well, I think that, but see, I put Jonathan Ogden and Walter Jones at another level than Orlando Pace.
All right. So those two guys, is there a top shelf guy?
I think those two guys, if you look at Jonathan and Pace, those guys are, they're going to be Hall of Famers. And I don't see one of those right now out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so people, I got this criticism of the drafting of Eugene Monroe, saying, "Well, geez, it was a top 10 pick. We got to have a future Hall of Famer out there, a Pro Bowler." Well, maybe that guy isn't there in the top 10. Maybe the top 10 for that draft for several years around it isn't producing that kind of talent.
Yeah, and positions go in waves. I mean, that's how it's always been. And listen, maybe the group of guys that – and maybe – listen, it's only Eugene's third year. I don't think – I mean, if I think back, I'm not sure Walter was regarded as a top-shelf left tackle his third
not that,
year.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just starting
maybe
to get that kind of
attention. So give Eugene a chance. I still think – I mean, he has the skill set to develop and do a Pro Bowl tackle. My opinion has not changed of Eugene. I was very disappointed in his preseason. I was worried when he came back very light, and I didn't think that he was able to play his best football at that weight. That's changed.
He was down to, 282, I think?
Yeah, it's too light.
And he's up over 300.
Yeah, he's playing more physical. Mm-hmm. And I think he is still going to grow as a player, and so I still will argue he can be a Pro Bowl tackle. The answer to the second part of James' question about the Atlanta Falcons offensive line, it's just okay. They're okay. They're nothing. Sam Baker has been injured. He was not playing very well. He's been up and down. I think he even got benched. So they got a guy named Zvit, who plays left tackle. who's just a try-hard guy. We should be able to get after him.
You were high on Donald Penn, though, right?
I think Donald Penn's the best left tackle in football.
He got absolutely trucked by Jeremy Mincy two or three times.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mincy just chewed him up last week.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I haven't seen Donald play for 4 weeks now. The first half of the year, he was playing, in my opinion, the best left tackle. Yeah. You know, maybe he's
Mincy killed him. Mincy just killed him last week. So,
yeah. And that, yeah.
Which again, if Penny's good and Mincy's playing that and the defensive line, then, you know, there's.
Yeah.
There's
and so, I don't, yeah. Would I say that without a doubt Donald Penn's the best left tackle in football right now? No. Was he playing the best the first half of the year of the tackles I saw? Yes. So, but playing in the NFL is about being consistent.
No doubt. All right, we'll take more calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Hey, register to win a one-year lease on a brand-new Volkswagen Beetle. Just stop by Tom Bush Volkswagen, Osteen Volkswagen, or Volkswagen of Orange Park to enter. The winner will be announced during the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. For rules and more information, visit jaguars.com. Back with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Baselli with you right here. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Baselli here with you. 800-355-NFL1. Monday, December 19th, RPM Automotive at 9148 Phillips Highway. That's this coming Monday. That's near the avenues. Invites you to join them for cookies with the Jaguars rookies. Noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. Might be a good place to go if you're doing some Christmas shopping to pick up a little something for nothing if you stop by and win that at RPM Automotive, 9148 Phillips Highway near the Avenues Mall. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to John Keystone Heights, who's up next here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. John, how you doing?
All right, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
And Tony, and you too, Cole. What I'm really concerned about is I heard him say the talk about the sponsors and the fans. And the thing I noticed is all of a sudden the other radio station that we don't want to talk about is all of a sudden saying, well, he has to get rid of Gene Smith, he has to do this and everything else. And I think, you know, Tony, he's going to be having to talk to you because you're Mr. Team Teal. And I think that we need to get the not just locally, it's like right now I'm rigged up specially in Keystone Heights so I can even hear this radio station. We need to get outside the rigors of Jacksonville and get out and get a fan base built in Florida, in the northeast part of Florida, to come to. I mean, my brother, I'm from Ohio originally, my brother lives 150 miles from Cleveland and is a season ticket owner. I bet you there isn't hardly anybody, if anybody, in Florida that lives that far away from Jacksonville that is a ticket season holder.
Well, John, let me address each of those kind of one at a time.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So if you listen to garbage, it's going to be garbage out. So don't believe everything you hear. I mean, people can have their opinion and they can say what they want about firing Gene Smith or whatever. But the reality is you have to be able to back that argument up with some basis, some facts, some basis of truth. Otherwise, it is just an opinion that you just kind of spout and don't really have any real credibility behind it. So, you know, if someone wants to make that case, I'd love to hear their argument and look at the facts of what has been done over the last 3 years, looking at the draft and the free agents and what where this team was, where this roster was, and where it is now, and the fact that you, in my opinion, you need to give it to truly judge a GM, whether it's Gene Smith or anybody else, you have to give him the chance to put his coach in the driver's seat, because ultimately, to judge the direction of a franchise, it takes players, it takes coaching, It takes front office. It takes leadership. And when a major piece of that is lacking, it is hard to make an overall judgment. So that's addressing Gene Smith. The other part of expanding the marketplace beyond the five-county area of Jacksonville is absolutely 100% mission critical. Could not agree with you more. I think there needs to be a concerted effort, and I think we've started that. That's what, we started that with Team Teal. I think it will continue. I think that is a focus. I think whether even if the team would not have been sold to Mr. Kahn, I think Mr. Weaver and the team he has here, the wheels were in motion to address that, because I think everybody here would agree 100% with you.
Well, guys, I really appreciate it, and that's what I've been saying all along. This has to go outside of the Jacksonville market and into, you know, the Florida market.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. The Southeast Georgia and Northeast Florida should all be Jaguar fans.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, John.
And I appreciate everything you do, Tony.
Thank you, John.
John, thanks for the call. Let me challenge a little bit on that point about the you know, expanding beyond the five-county area. Don't you have to make sure you take care of what's happening here? I mean, it's not a matter of never-ending resources, you know, to spread the word, so to speak. Don't you have to take care of what's happening here before you start worrying about the other stuff?
I don't think it's an either-or.
You don't think the resources are limited enough to, in terms of time, people, and money?
No.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, I think it takes a – you have to have – I think you would have seen it this year without the lockout. I think the wheels were in motion. And I think if you look at year one of Team Teal, we went all the way to Brunswick, down to Palatka, and everywhere in between.
Well, Palatka's in the five county area.
No, I understand that, but started expanding that. Mm-hmm. We were in Flagler County.
Where I think the difference becomes is when it becomes whatever that mental break is for somebody when driving to the game is now you're driving to Jacksonville, not just going. You know, in other words, when it becomes a road trip, even if you can make it in a couple of hours. For some people, live in Lake City, driving to Jacksonville is no big deal. They do it, you know, four or five times. For somebody else who lives in Lake City, you know, it might seem like a bigger trek,
yeah,
so it's a little different.
I disagree, and I think if you look at other markets, the Denver Broncos, they have a strong following in Wyoming, and they pull from that Rocky Mountain region.
Sure, the Chiefs for years pulled from Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska,
Iowa. You look at Green Bay; they pull from a large mm-hmm. region. Now, those have historical fan bases that have been building. Yeah. This isn't a one-year plan. Yeah. This is a strategy, I think. It's my opinion that you expand the market. Does that mean you know, if we're starting in this five-county area, does that mean you all of a sudden expand it by 200 miles, a radius of two? No, but I think you start slowly expanding the market, yeah. And there's creative – there's mechanisms to do that, especially in today's media. And if you do it smartly, which I think there's people in this building that can do that already, and my guess is, you know, Mr. Kahn will be thinking in those areas as well, building it, that it can be done.
Yeah, I don't disagree. My point is on the two different people is you have to message them differently, right? You have to for the person who's coming in and it's just a drive to the stadium is the drive to the stadium. It's not a drive. It's not a road trip. Their interaction with it is different than somebody who thinks it's a, you know, pack up the car, bring everybody in, get a hotel room, and the whole, you know.
Yeah, but you're not going to know that. You got to. I mean, marketing is not always an exact science, so you just have to go after a mall, and the ones you get.
All right, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to D in Bay Meadows, who's up next here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Hi, D.
Hey, good evening. Just wanted to say, I grew up here in Jacksonville. I was born and raised here, but I moved to Tampa, to South Florida, for a while, about 10 years, and I actually commuted the 3 hours to come here and see my Jags every week, every home game. So that's not really an accurate statement as far as that caller.
I thought that was what Tony was going to first jump
what,
on.
What
did
he
that
say?
People that nobody came that traveled in from somewhere else.
Oh, I didn't want to get. I didn't want to get. We have people come in from Hilton Head. I mean, they have done that for years. I mean, all over the place.
Yeah, and I'd see convoy cars coming along with me when I came into town. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there, guys. I appreciate you supporting the team the way you do, and go Jags.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so was it D?
D, yeah.
Yeah, D just said that. I think, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, when I say that we need to expand the market, we need to continue the effort to even make a more concerted effort to do that, because I think there's fans out there. I think, you know, a perfect example of that, if you go up to in areas of southeast Georgia, there's a lot of Jaguar fans that we need to continue to pull down and become their team.
And there's two ways you can do that, in my opinion. One is, you know, marketing, advertising, PR, that whole side of it. The other is make this the place to be. And you make this the place to be based on winning, the atmosphere that's in the place, you know, the game day experience.
Winning,
and did I mention winning?
Yeah. Well, but Shad Khan said that.
Yeah.
He says we got to win on and off the field. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody – listen, a big part of marketing a franchise is winning. I mean, don't kid yourself. There's a bunch of Steeler fans because in the 70s they won a bunch of Super Bowls and the tradition was started, the Cowboys. I mean, you go through the different franchises that have long-term success. You know, the Green Bay Packers were Title Town, built with Vince Lombardi, and that has carried over.
The Chiefs didn't draw anybody. I mean, they made Jaguar blackouts look like, Woodstock with the number of people that go to Arrowhead Stadium before Marty Schottenheimer got there. They started winning.
Trust me, I used to, as a Bronco fan, watch and say, why is nobody in Kansas City?
You laugh and point. And we would say, So there's no doubt about it. All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll get a little more about the team itself. And I have my dozen questions that I had for this team when the season began, and we'll talk about if those have been answered, and if so, does that mean they're solved now for the future? Back with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Buscelli here. We'll take your calls, 800-355-NFL1. Also want to get into some of the, maybe they were the dirty dozen, Tony, the 12 questions that I had when, and I rolled them out here on this show when I filled in back in the preseason. And these were the questions that I had to have answered more in the affirmative than not, maybe almost all in the affirmative than not, in order for the Jaguars to make a big impact this year. And so we'll just kind of go through them here in the last half hour before we get back to some calls. Number one was, did the offseason moves improve the defense enough? I think that is a pretty easy one to answer.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, it's not even close.
Talk about Posluszny, who's been just a huge get. I'm shocked based on the way he's gone about things and how he's played that he wasn't – that Buffalo let him go. I know they were playing a 3-4 and he didn't play it, but, I mean, this guy he is a real pro, and he really goes about it the right way, and obviously has a lot of ability. I'm just shocked that a team would give up on a guy like that.
Well, if he didn't fit in the 3-4 defense, he probably didn't play as well as he is now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I think the book coming out of him was maybe he'd be a little stiff in coverage, but he's not. He's an every down linebacker, and he's proven it. And
for a while there, he had played every down except one when he lost his shoe.
And
I don't know if that's still the case.
I'll say this is, if this team was having more success, I don't know how you keep him out of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
he's playing as well as any inside linebacker in the NFC.
All right, then question two was, can Maurice Jones-Drew be full speed the entire season?
Yes.
Remember, he was not at the end of last year and missed the last three games. And then number three, can Aaron Campman be full speed the entire season?
No.
All right, so now we're two yes, one no so far as these 12 questions. We'll continue to talk about those. We'll take some calls as well. You can tweet to me if you want at Cole Pepper. And if you want to tweet to Buscelli, you can as well.
At Tony Buscelli.
At Tony Buscelli.
Very difficult.
Very difficult to remember either one of ours, actually. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Bill on the south side, who's up next here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
All right, look, I wanted to point something out about the fan base. Now, you know, if it wasn't for Tony and what he has done, We wouldn't have had the stadium. You know, we would have had blackouts last year and this year if it wasn't for him. And I want to thank him for that. But look, I've always thought that the Jaguars had never done enough to, you know, in you know, PR stuff. You know, the in Dallas, what's his name, Jones, he has a man called Dahlgren or something. I mean, he is probably the best PR man in all of football. I mean, his players, you know, they go out and stab their girlfriends with scissors and it's all smoothed over, and now the man's on TV as a commentator. I mean, look, and now the man's great on TV, he's all cleaned up and everything because this Dahlgren, the guy, is perfect. But we have never had that here. And when you talk about population, if we have to have 67,000 people in the stands, if you look at the census, Duval County only has about 740,000 now, and for the better part of the years we've had the team, we've had about 640,000 people, I think it was, in the mid-1990s. I mean, that's 10% of the population. If that had to happen in Chicago or New York, they'd have to have a stadium to put 700,000 people in it. But listen, I wanted to point something out. If you take a compass, you put the point in the middle of Jacksonville, and you ring your pencil around about 400 miles in a circle. Of course, you have the Atlantic Ocean, but you take in about 35 million people. Now, why in the world can't we get some of those people into the stadium? Because nothing's been done with the exception of Tony Boselli.
Well, and listen, I appreciate, and I'll take all the credit that anyone wants
to
give me.
Yeah, you should.
I appreciate that. I want to make you a comment. But it was a team effort. I mean, there's great people in the city, in the community, the mayor's office, the corporate community, and within this building as well. I mean, great leadership. And so it was a team effort. But I appreciate your comments, Bill. That's very kind. As far as I think drawing a 400-mile radius might be a little large. So 400 miles from Jacksonville, what is that about? If you're driving like I do, that's about a six-hour – no, I can make it maybe five-hour drive. That's a long way.
So for a 1 o'clock game, you'd be leaving at sunup.
Yeah, I think – but I don't think 200-mile radius and start looking at those – of that area and start making a strategic. You have to be strategic because there are limited resources of what you can and can't do. But I think that there's nothing wrong with making of having a plan of how to touch those people in some way.
Yeah, anyway, listen, maybe someday I could be able to get in touch with you, Tony, because I have some ideas for your Teal team there.
Absolutely. Just you always can get go to BoselliFoundation.com. There's always a way to contact me, or you can go through My Team Teal, the website, and contact me through Team Teal as well.
I have a few ideas, so I'll get in touch.
Great.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Just as a note, Tallahassee's 164 miles away.
I drove it. I went there and back today.
Yeah. That's a reasonable distance to reach somebody, you know.
Absolutely. I'd go all day long from Tallahassee to here. People drive from here to Tallahassee for college games all the time.
All the time. Right. And that was sort of my point on that is if you make that drive, would you make the drive in reverse? To come to Jacksonville for that. And you're probably talking about a 200-mile would be just somewhere this side of Fort Walton Beach, something like that. So,
How far is – so you probably go up to Hilton Head. I mean, I think Hilton Head's within that 150.
I will tell you, Hilton Head is via I-95 is 171 miles.
Yeah, so that would probably be the limit.
Yeah. All right, so 800-355-NFL1.
It's not an exact science either. It's not like, okay, this is the line of demarcation.
201 miles. Yeah,
you can't cross.
Eric in Mandarin.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Good.
Hey, Tony, I figured something out for you.
Okay. I'm always looking for advice.
Logs is probably going to get you that watch for Christmas.
Yeah, Logs will never get – they owe me a watch, and I will bother them. They're not here today. They're off.
What's the story behind this?
They owe me a watch. I did the first – what's that TV show Logs and Sexton do? Jaguar
All Access.
All Access. Yeah. Great show. I love it. I did it. I was there for opening week, and you get a Bueller Swiss watch if you are a guest. And everyone since then has got a Bueller Swiss watch except for me.
And Tony's been whining about it.
I haven't been whining. I just want a watch. Those are nice. I mean, listen, if you knew how nice those watches were, and you might want to go get one – Those are like very nice watches. I like that watch.
I'll have to go check those out.
Yeah, check it out. They're good stuff.
Hey, there was one thing mentioned. You guys talked about the teams, Green Bay and Chicago and Detroit, where the teams are just, they're the historic teams. I mean, the Jaguars, we're just now getting that kind of a fan base being around, you know, only 18 years so far. I remember the day, you know, it went out on the news report that, you know, the team's coming. So now my kids are excited every week for Jaguars football. They're not quite old enough to be able to go, but, you know, they love sitting on the Jaguars football, and I think it's just now getting to that point. And me personally, if I didn't have to work every Sunday, I'd probably be on that north end zone with everybody else being all crazy.
There's no doubt that the age of the franchise plays against you to a certain extent, but when you're winning, none of those things tend to crop up. I mean, you know, the acceleration of interest and excitement when you're winning. Tony, you mentioned it. We were going through the list of things. Winning is like numbers 1, 3, 4, and 7, right? And if you win, it's just, it solves so many problems. Now it becomes the hip place to be. It's where everybody wants to be. It's a social mecca of Jackson. It is, by the way, now, I mean, it's the one place that 10 days a year you can get all of Jacksonville from all different directions, all different backgrounds, all different geographies together in one place. That, I mean, we know about this. It just hasn't been as many people consistently as it would be if they're winning.
Right. I mean, that was my idea on that. Not necessarily does Team Teal need to do more, go further, or give more back. I mean, come on, you guys did what? Those books that you gave out, the coupon books?
Teal Deals, baby.
Teal Deals are great.
I love Teal Deals. Yeah. I use them myself. I hope those come back. Just for the Baselli family. I got 5 kids. Those are very valuable in the Baselli household.
You know, you got the Teal Deal books, you've got your Jaguars rewards cards that are coming out that, you know, it's like, how much more do you want the team to do other than give away
win.
Free tickets?
I think
people just
want
to win.
I think from the marketing standpoint, I think the team's done a very good job of that. Now do it on the field.
I think people just want to win, Eric. I think that's what people are ready to win.
I agree with you, but, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't care win or lose. I'd be there if I didn't have to work on Sundays.
Well, that's because you're a great fan. We need to talk to your boss and get you off Sundays and get you working another day.
I'll email you his number.
Tell him that Tony Baselli says, change your hours. Sunday is an important day. You need to go, you know,
Eric,
spend
wait,
time
wait, wait,
family
hang on.
And
Eric,
go to the football game.
Eric, you're not a priest, are you? Okay, all right, because then, you know,
well, I mean,
trouble.
If you're a priest or a pastor, go to church in the morning. I mean, we go to church in the morning, and the game's at 1.
Well, I just didn't know who you were going to have to email.
I'll email anybody. I mean, that doesn't matter who it is.
Send it off to the Pope or something.
If I need to talk to the Pope,
Eric,
then we'll talk.
Thanks for the call.
All right, guys.
Pope's got a deceptively quick first step. 800-355-NFL1. Let's take time out. More calls when we come back. Somebody wants us to talk more about the Atlanta game? Really? We're going to do 3 hours tomorrow. Is that enough for you?
Hot Atlanta.
We may talk about the Atlanta game, but I may not. I got to do 3 hours about it tomorrow. Plus, don't you really just want to see how Gabbert does if he keeps the momentum going? I mean, that's the biggest story on the field. We know that. Back with more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper, Tony Baselli. Caller wants us to talk about tomorrow night's Atlanta game. Tomorrow night, we'll take the air at 5 o'clock with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. I'll be on the air after the game with Marco Coleman. Southern 40 of the Scoreboard Show will wrap up sometime around Friday noon.
I'll be
like
sitting on my couch watching the game.
And you'll be asleep by...
What time does the game end?
11:30 probably.
I'll 11:40. Be asleep by 11:47.
Okay, you just let the gun, then you're done.
I'm going to bed.
All right. Continuing the questions that that I had about this team coming into the year. Number 4, do the Jaguars have enough weapons in the passing game?
Do we really have to answer that?
We know the answer is no. Will the who will be the starters at safety, and how effective will they be?
Outstanding.
And we know that's been Landry and
Lowry.
They've been terrific. What about the quarterback situation?
Up in the air, but I think the last 2 weeks, Gabbert has gotten better.
And let's spend a minute on that. the thing that struck me the most about this past Sunday's game was the two-minute drill. In a two-minute drill, by the way, where clearly Mel Tucker had spent a lot of time in practice the last 2 weeks working on that. He's a details guy, as we've noted.
Is that important, working on things?
I found, Tony, in the years I've spent covering this league, that working on something can make you better at it. I don't know if you... This may be something you haven't come across yet, but...
it's a good concept.
It's a good concept, I think. So they worked on it. They got the two-minute drill right down the field and got the touchdown. That struck me for two reasons. One, the fact that they did it, and a young quarterback in a two-minute drill doing it is great. Number two, though, the fact that here's something they work on, and then he so quickly adapts it.
But haven't they worked
game.
On that all year? Haven't they? Don't they do two-minute? I got to believe Jack did two-minute drills in practice all year, didn't he?
Do you have to believe that?
I would think. I never went to one of Jack's regular season practices, so I don't know. I just know every team I was on, we did it every week. So I'm assuming he did it.
I don't know how much Jack did it for sure, but I've been told by players. In fact, Eugene Monroe sat right over here during the postgame and said, we really have worked on the two-minute drill a lot here in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, maybe worked on it more, I don't know. But they worked on it, and lo and behold, it happened. So, I like to see that, and I like the fact that he plugged things in. And the throw he made to Mercedes was that's a world-class throw. Just zipped it right down the middle. It looked like a drone flying over the mountains in Afghanistan or something. It was right on the way. All right, number seven. Can Will Rackley really start all season at left guard? He started most of the season. What do you think of Rackley's future?
I think he's gonna be good. I mean, it's too early. I mean, he's playing fine. He's getting better. I think he'll be. I mean, if he continues to progress at the rate he is on, he'll be injury. Take that out of the question. He'll play left guard for the Jaguars for the next 10 years.
Yeah, he had some problems early on when he had some finger issues he was dealing with. Number eight, can Zach Miller stay healthy and fulfill his promise? We know the answer to that has been no, he did not stay healthy.
He's not healthy.
That's going to be an interesting decision this offseason, what they do with the tight end position. You know, you've got Mercedes. I expect Mercedes to be much better catching the football than he was through most of the season. We've seen he can be, and I expect he will be. But what they do with that position is going to be interesting. And some of that may depend on who the new coach is and his kind of approach and philosophy as far as the offense. Number nine, is Jason Hill a starting caliber wide receiver?
Not here.
We know that answer. That was made clear. Who starts opposite Campman, and where does the pass rush come from?
Well, Campman has not been opposite anybody. Right. He's been on but I'll say this. The pass rush, I think Mincy's played very well. John Schick before he got hurt was playing good football. They've got good pressure, not as many sacks as they need, but it's been better. It's been more consistent. But they still need a premier pass rusher. But so does 2/3 of the NFL.
Yeah, I think pass rusher, cover corner, wide receiver, three biggest offseason areas of need for the Jaguars. This is a big one, and this one may create when people. Decide that they don't think that Gene Smith has been doing a good job. This is usually what happens. They point to Tyson Alualu and say, is he going to, and my question was, is Alualu going to take the next step? I don't know if he necessarily has taken the next step in his game. He was pretty solid last year. He's been solid this year.
He's been better this year, though, than last year. He's fighting, a little bit of a knee injury.
Yep.
But I still think he's playing, if you go watch, just watch the tape, he's playing very good football. Is he great? Is he... What he can be, no. But you got to remember, there's certain positions in football, and defensive tackle is one of them, that it takes time to develop as a pass rusher inside.
Yep. And then finally, the 12th question on this. Can the Jaguars avoid the December fade? That remains to be seen.
They did. They did not fade in December. They didn't.
They have
September.
Not. They have not faded in December as of yet,
fade that we started in September this year.
got that out of the way early on. 800-355-NFL1. Here's a tweet from Lance. Seems like Blaine rips up zone defenses pretty good. Need to get a good wide receiver to force teams to play zone and quit playing man. Do you agree with that?
I don't know if I'd be ready to get that specific.
What do you want to see out of Blaine the rest of the year?
Continue to improve. Continued comfort in the pocket, maneuvering, working the pocket, just comfort, confidence. those type of things.
Can you improve the the pocket stuff?
Yes,
through
he got better last week.
And so is it drills? Is it just focusing on it? Is it saying I'm going to stand here and take the hit? What is
no? But it's confidence. It's confidence in knowing what to expect and what you're seeing, and confidence in your guys down the field. It's work during the week and off. So this off season, your footwork and your in your technique. And then it's just maturity and growing as a quarterback in the NFL.
And last and probably the most pressing question that has come in on Twitter so far comes in right at the end of the show. Somebody wants to know where they can find a Bocelli burger.
Yeah, I don't think those exist any longer.
If somebody has one.
I can barbecue one at my house. I have Bocelli burgers all the time.
Grill one up. Any burger you make is going to be a Bocelli
very
burger,
good
isn't
too.
It? All right, Tony's going to be, again, at the – probably the focal point of football this weekend.
Yeah, Broncos. I'll be at the Bronco Patriot game, and I'm very excited. I mean, I enjoy watching. You know, I think Tim Tebow's good for the NFL. It's a different style. It's out of the box.
It reminds me
it's
a little bit
the
of the Flutie mania.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's controversial. I like how he's handling it, and I'm looking forward to seeing if they can score enough points to keep up with Tom Brady.
You think they can?
I'm not going to bet against them because every time I've bet against them this year, I've been wrong.
Right. I don't think they can, even against a bad New England defense. I think I think Brady is going to outscore him. I think is what it's going to come down to. Tebow's had two big scoring games this year. The rest of them have been in the teens. So I just don't see that
seven.
But they get Demaryius Thomas back a couple weeks ago, and he's been
7-1.
More of a factor. They are. They're winning. I'll give them credit.
It's amazing. Now they can say they're winning against bad competition. Well, we'll find out Sunday against some good competition.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Tony, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good
great,
to have you in
great here. Great being here.
All right, Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. Wrapping up as we remind you that tomorrow night we'll talk lots about that Atlanta game for Lee and Panavida and everybody else who wants to hear more about the game. We'll get you ready for that one tomorrow night, the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, followed by the set of the pregame show, and then kickoff at 8:20 or thereabouts from the Georgia Dome, Jaguars and Falcons. After the ball game, we'll take your calls and comments. Marco Coleman will be in here with the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. For Tony Bocelli, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, and good night from Jaguar Central.